best love is love.
Hi, Deani. Oh my God, you are never going to believe what my wife said to me the other day. I cannot
wait. Jamie, save it for the Patreon.
What? Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Listen, everyone at home, if you want to hear what my wife said, plus a lot of other things that I have been dying to get off my chest, and there are some things, y'all, there really are, you need to come join us on our Patreon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's me and my good friend Deani here, the amazing millennial who is young and sprightly, spilling all the tea in our queer little lives and exclusive contents that you literally cannot find anywhere else, literally nowhere else in the world.
The link is in the bio. Come be part of the queer family.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love. The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I think that's usually the trajectory. I don't think anymore as much. So speaking of our age generational gap, I'm Gen Z millennial cusp. So I'm like right on the edge of both. And I think Gen Z is more like when I'm tapped into the Gen Z world more, they're all very queer and out. And there is some stat about like there's a much higher percentage of them that are queer and out at a younger age than the millennial generation or the Gen X.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I am your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. This is a good one, y'all. This is a good, fun conversation. We laugh. We get into some deep stuff. You're going to like it. And it's a short one because I feel like we've all been watching the news way too much lately. We can't keep our eyes off the news. We need some short, lighthearted, short form content. So you got a shorter one for you today. My guest today, well, she works on the Queer Family Podcast, but she doesn't have kids yet. Maybe. We're really not sure yet. But today I am talking to the person who's been helping me produce this show for the past year. She is my right hand. She is my Gen Z translator. Clock it. And I'm pretty sure I used that wrong. And I'm pretty sure she's laughing at me right now. She's a woman who basically replaced Helen and Beulah. But don't tell them yet. They don't know. They still roll the tape, y'all. They still sit on my couch, drink their whiskey, smoke their cigarettes. They still roll the tape. They push the button. But Deani does everything else. But they don't know. They don't know. They're fake. Deani is the only real help. And Jerson, my editor. But anyway. Deani Hall. I love her to death. She is a queer Latina. She is a former full-time traveler. And she is someone I talk to constantly about work. But I realized I know very little about her personally. So we're fixing that. And we are asking the big question, to baby or not to baby. It's a really great conversation. And we also talk about coming out, or in Deani's case, getting found out, literally, like really found out. You'll hear the story. And just all things intentionality. And I don't know, maybe it's just everything that's happening in the world right now. I know you all feel it too. Everything feels so heavy and big. But I keep coming back to this idea that none of this is guaranteed. If the world weren't the state that it is right now, I don't think I would have ever had this idea. This is not guaranteed. We fought for this. Pride started as a riot, as we all know. We fought hard for this. And with the state of the things that are going on right now and the rhetoric being spewed daily by the people in charge, nothing's guaranteed. It's clear to me now. It's clear as day. Not our rights, not our choices, not even the way we get to build our families. Which makes this conversation, I think, even more important. Just the intentionality Deani is bringing to her relationship and to how she's deciding now, she's young, to build her life. And the thoughts she's already put into baby making, if she's going to do it or if she's not going to do it. It just feels so important to have conversations like this. Those of us who live outside of the box and those of us who are architecting our own lives. And really, I do truly feel making this world a better place. And Deani's one of them. So you're going to love this conversation. I hope you get some laughs. Oh, and poor Deani's coming out or getting found out story, y'all. Phew, can't make this stuff up. Okay, all right. Helen Beulah, they heard me talking about Deani. They do not like that. Can you all come roll this tape, please? Yes, yes, I'm asking you. Yes, I want you to do something. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Deani.
Hi, Jamie.
This is so fun because for the first time, you're in a recording booth with me, like recording studio. We're recording, is what I should
say. I'm on the other side of the podcast, which
I love this.
Is fun. It's exciting.
Well, you are a fellow podcaster, so it's not like this is not too foreign for you.
No, not too foreign. I've done several guest interviews. I work in the podcasting space. I work on the Queer Family Podcast.
You sure do.
For those of y'all listening.
You basically replaced Helen and Beulah. Don't tell anybody, though, and don't tell them. Just kidding.
I will not disclose. I will neither confirm nor deny.
They still think they have a job. They still roll this tape. But that's it. That's all I let them do because they're drunk all the time. Let's do this. Let's get right into your 30-second elevator pitch that you knew you were going to have to do because you helped me edit these episodes. You knew it was coming and you did not prepare, my friend.
I did not prepare.
But are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's do it.
All right. Get set. Go, Deani. Go.
Hi, my name is Deani Hall. I am a queer Latina living in Brooklyn, New York. But before then, I spent 6 years backpacking full time and traveling full time. I didn't technically get to come out as queer. I got found out, and that would probably be a fun story we can get into. But I am queer. I have an amazing girlfriend named Ashley, and I work on the Queer Family Podcast.
Boom. I love it. Yes. We're going to hear your coming out story. I mean, your found out story. And also, just a fun thing, you also had a podcast called While She's Away.
Yes. For a while, I've stopped producing it, but I had it for a while called While She's Away. It was my passion project, my work of art while I was traveling, and I was interviewing other women and queer people on their experiences traveling full time. It still exists. It's still alive. If you want to go listen to it, we talk all things solo female travel and queer travel experiences. So it was a fun passion project of mine while I was traveling.
I love that. I want to know all the places you went, but we'll get into that. And just so everybody knows at home, Deani doesn't have kids, so we're diverting from the norm here, which is what we do anyway. But we are going to dig into to have kids or not to have kids as a queer individual. It's that kind of a conversation, and I'm excited to hear your answers on that because I have met your girlfriend.
Yes, you have.
And I feel like you guys have a good thing going, so... Anyway, maybe we should talk about marriage first, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So, Deani, let's take it back. Let's take it back to little Deani and the finding out of the queer. Like, you got found out. You got outed. So let's go there. Let's talk about it.
Not even necessarily outed, but let me paint the picture. First of all, grew up in a very, very Christian family, as one does. Yes. Raised very Christian. I went to private schools, Christian schools.
Christian schools.
Yes, Christian school. Funny enough, I don't remember a lot of what I learned, and I think that's probably intentional. And so had no clue that I was queer growing up.
It wasn't around you.
It wasn't around me. It was nowhere near me.
Where were you? Where in the world did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
In Christian New Jersey.
In Christian suburbia, New Jersey, and had no clue that I was queer, but I ask friends now that I've known since middle school, and they're like, yeah, duh. And I'm like, okay, well, why didn't anybody tell me? But had no clue, even though I was also making out with girls in high school, and I was like, that's just
why would you think that was queer?
That's just what you do, obviously.
Obviously.
So then got to college, and I think some of this, started exploring some of this, and I met this girl. She was actually at the time a friend's girlfriend, funny enough.
But a girl's girlfriend?
Friend of mine's girlfriend when I first met her.
Like, was she a gay girlfriend or a...
Yeah, yeah, yes. They were girlfriends. They were together.
So you were hanging out with some queers.
Well, once I got to college and then I had one of my close friends at the time, my freshman year, was queer. And I think being outside of the Christian bubble allowed for me to begin to kind of expand my mindset and being like, oh, you know, there are queer people around X, Y, and Z. So I remember I was in a intro to psych class. I got my undergrad in psych and I was with a few of my friends, and that one friend brought her girlfriend to class that day because it was like a big lecture hall class. And I met her girlfriend for the first time and was like kind of immediately drawn to her, like was mm-hmm. really, but I couldn't understand why. I was like, I'm really into this person, but I don't know why that is. And we'd hung out as a group a few times, but I ended up transferring schools and didn't see them, weren't really friends with them anymore. And then we reconnected after I transferred schools. I reconnected with that girlfriend after they had broken up. And she'd posted something on Twitter at the time about going to watch the sunrise on the beach. And I was like, well, I would go with you. And that was actually our first date.
Okay.
As the kids say, slid into her DMs, basically.
You sure did, Deani.
Yeah, I did. And she picked me up at like 5 something in the morning because you have to go early to go see the sunrise on the beach. And it's about an hour from where we are in Jersey. And we went down to the beach and watched the sunrise and spent the day. And she kissed me goodbye. And I was like, oh, my God. And that was my first girlfriend.
Wow.
Yes. But how that leads into my coming out, she was the first girl that I'd ever like liked in that way. And my dad was completely oblivious and had no idea that he potentially had a queer daughter. So I would bring her over and that was just my friend. And we would cuddle on the couch and hang out and he had no clue of anything. But then one weekend he went away with my stepmom and my two brothers for a wedding. And I was like, oh my God, she can come stay over. How fun. And she stayed over the first night and we were watching, I think the new Frank Ocean album had just dropped at that time. And so we're hanging out on the couch, drinking wine. And then the second night, she comes to stay over again. And I didn't live there at my dad's place, but I would go there to like hang out. And we started making out and we started hooking up. And I didn't live there. So I was like, oh, well, we can use my dad's bed. We can use my parents' bed.
Oh, God, Deani.
Long story short, she's on top of me. We're making out. The lights go on and I see my dad standing in the doorway.
Oh my God.
True story. I see my dad standing in the doorway and all he says is like, get out of my house. And she immediately gets up and gets dressed and she leaves. And oh my God. Think I hide out in the bathroom for the rest of the night because I was just filled with so much shame and could not.
Of course.
So
of course.
That's my coming out story.
Oh, he literally found you making out.
Yeah.
What?
Found.
Oh my God. And then was there ever a conversation with, like, how'd it go afterwards? Like, how did that convo go?
It was rough for a while. It was definitely rough for a while because he had no clue. Like, there was no opportunity for any conversation before this came out. He actually had no idea. So he's kind of a cold shoulder kind of guy. So it was very, like, cold shoulder. We didn't really talk about it, but I kept dating her and then like a year later moved in with her. So then I'm like living with this person and it became like, he was like, I don't want her around your brothers. Like, I don't know if he thought the gay was going to rub off on them somehow, yeah. You know.
Because that's how it works.
Obviously. They were going to catch the gay, of course. And so he didn't want them around her and it was iffy for a while. But I think once we'd moved in together, he kind of realized like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And slowly, very slowly came around. Still invites me to church and for a while was very much like, I'm praying for you and, you know, trying to save your soul. Don't want you to go to hell. Here's books on people who have converted to Christianity after they found out they were queer. God. All of those things still kind of kept happening. But I think we've gotten to a place. He's met my current girlfriend, but she came to church with us. Yeah. So he's come around. It's kind of the like, don't ask, don't tell unspoken thing of like, yes, I have a queer daughter.
Yeah.
But we don't address the elephant in the room. So that's my coming out story.
And you're still young. Like, I forget this because you're such a badass and you work so hard and you got it all together. And then I forget that you're still not even 30.
Well, I turned 30 next month, technically.
Okay. Happy birthday, Deani.
Thank you.
We're working with two very separate generations, you and I. So that's also a fun thing.
Yeah.
I love hearing your slang words. They make me smile. This is still early. Like, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about myself in my 20s. I was still bisexual in my 20s. I was bi for quite some time. I am not bi. But to my family, I was bi. And to the people that I was afraid to tell, no, it's just a person. I'm bi. Yeah, it's the person I fell in love with or whatever. You know, I just spun it however I spun it.
I think that's usually the trajectory. I don't think anymore as much. So speaking of our age gap, yeah. Generational gap, I'm Gen Z millennial cusp. So I'm like right on the edge of both. And I think Gen Z is more like when I'm tapped into the Gen Z world more, they're all very queer and out. And there is some stat about like there's a much higher percentage of them that are queer and out at a younger age than the millennial generation or the Gen X is the one above us.
That's me.
That's you. So are more out. And so, you know, like lean into that, have a lot of friends who are X, Y, and Z. But also when I'm tapped into friends that are like older than me, more millennial leaning, they are a lot more, took longer to come out, came out as bi first. There's still all that fear around it. Don't want to disappoint it. Like all the things.
The shame.
So the shame, all of the shame. So there's definitely like I see both sides kind of because I'm on the cusp of both. But also I did also technically, like I started dating her for a while, but then kind of dated men again after for a little while. So it wasn't, I was fully out. I was bi for a while before I kind of had like a defining year where I was like, okay, I'm no longer dating men. And then after that, like have not dated them since. Cause I was like, let me just see what happens if I stop dating them completely. And then I was like, oh, this is so much better. I'm happier yeah. now.
It's a trajectory, this coming out or you know, being our authentic selves. It's not normally, it's not like a really quick, super quick process. Like you slowly have to find yourself. And that's why I feel like us queer folks are kind of like better people just because we have really, really explored what is it that I want here? What is it that I like here? And what is it that makes me truly happy as opposed to following the trajectory that has been set in motion by us? And thank God we have the stirrings of like attraction to somebody we're not supposed to be attracted to, because otherwise we would never ruminate on this.
I think too, the confronting of the path you have to go down to live in your authenticity. Like even when I first came out, or first was found out and a while, like there was still a lot of, in that relationship, a lot of shame I was unpacking, a lot of like internalized homophobia that lasted a long time within that relationship, a lot of questioning, which I feel like isn't talked about as much. Like I was with her and there was so much internalized questioning of like, do I love her? Do I want to be with her? Da, 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 da. And it was more coming from this place of like me trying to justify my queerness or find a workaround or like maybe I'm actually not. And maybe this is just a one-off or finding ways around it. And it did deeply impact like me and how I communicated in that relationship. And granted, I was really young, so you don't necessarily know how to communicate those things just yet. But now looking back, I'm like all of that plagued me for a while. And I don't think I got until my later into my 20s, like maybe 27 on, was I actually feeling more comfortable in my queerness, as now it's like, it's fully my identity. We're comfortable in it. I feel so like free and open, but it took time, a lot of time from 19 to 27, I'd say, to get there.
Yeah. And that's super normal. And that's, there's a reason why the Q is also queer or questioning, like, because they go hand in hand, right? It's so true. Yeah. And the questioning is a big part of, we're questioners. That's what we do. We question. Does this feel right? No, it does not. Let me find what does. Like, that's why I love us so much. And then on that path, now you're really fully in your queerness. But then what really solidifies it is when you get to the point where you're like with someone and maybe we're going to take that marriage route. And then maybe we're going to talk about baby making. So, and then things really get real. Like, I know this is real. This is real. But now we're going to dig in, Deani, because I need to know.
Okay.
I met Ashley. Ashley, actually, we were in the Bay Area together, you and Ashley and me and Anne, because I'm from San Francisco and Ashley's family lives in Oakland. So we were like, let's get together. We went to the bar and it was fun. I got to know Ashley and she's really great. She's a really great partner for you. I think you two are cute. Aww. So has there been talk of like, I don't know, like rings and stuff like that? Or
there has definitely been plenty of conversation about that. I think it's interesting because the immediate conception of, you know, lesbians or queer women is the U-Haul. And I know you're like, you're a U-Hauler. And I've been a very avoidant, I think, in traveling full-time, whatever. It was easy for me to just kind of like have flings or have things and then leave them behind quite easily. And so this is the first time that I'm dating someone and like living in the same city. And truly, I think for a while I was very much like a, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. No, 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 no. It was going to cost me my freedom, X, Y, and Z. And I think meeting Ashley was very much that when you know, or like when you meet your person, like then you'll know. Because not until I met her, I was like, oh my God, yeah, no, that's my wife. Like I'm going to marry that person.
And I can be with her forever.
Yes. Yeah. Like I can see myself building a life with her. I conceded it up where I hadn't thought that or about with previous partners or even considered that with her. I mean, from when we first met, I'd jokingly be like, you're going to be my first wife, because even if we don't end up together for the rest of our lives, we will get married and you will be at least my first wife, if nothing else. So
I think that's a strong goal right there. That's a great way to go about it. I love that. Let's go. That's amazing.
Like she's my first wife. If nothing else, she's my first wife. So I know that she will be my first wife and we talk about it all the time. And like we have conversations around rings, but I feel like a lot of our conversations are kind of building up into that point where maybe we're not ready for marriage right this second, but it's like, what are we planning towards? Like, what is
our life going to look
like? Yeah. What do we want our life to look like together? Financially, what are we aiming towards, you know, career wise? And she's kind of been the first partner to really challenge me in that way of like, what do you want? What are we building towards together? And meanwhile, before, like I wasn't having those conversations with partners. And so it's been really confronting to talk about and to figure that out. But she's the person that I would want to do that with. So it feels right in all the ways. And she's an amazing partner. So we're talking about all the things. We have also talked about family building and baby making.
Once again, I'm going to say intentional. Here we are again. Super, super intentional. And my point is, like I said, has there been talk about rings? Because a lot of times, like when you think of like a heterosexual marriage, there is the talk of, okay, when are you going to propose to me? And what kind of a ring do I want? And what kind of a ring are you going to get? And like, there's a lot of talk of like, what is our wedding going to look like? And whereas you're talking about, what's our life going to look like? What is our long-term goals here? I don't know. And probably straight people do that too, but I just wanted to point that out. Like, it's not so much about the act of getting married. It's about, what do we want our life to look like? And then do we want to add the marriage on top of that? Or do we need that? Like, that's a question we ask as well. Like, do we want the marriage? And then if we do want the marriage, do we want a wedding? Are we doing that? Which I know straight people think that way. I'm sure straight people have that conversation. I don't know.
I'm assuming so.
I just feel like, you know, you're being super intentional with just the life, not just the marriage you're going to have, but the life you're building with this other human and thinking about it beforehand.
I said I assume so, but I also have like one of my best friends is straight and she kind of is my glimpse.
We forgive her.
I know. She's the best ally ever and she is straight, but she kind of gives me a glimpse into like what's happening in the hetero world at my age. Whereas like all of my friends here in Brooklyn are queer. We're all gay. Mm-hmm. I don't know a single straight person here. Funny. But she like lives in Miami, is living a very like straight life. And so she's telling me about this friend of hers, who I also know who like has been married for 2 or 3 years and is getting divorced already. And we're around the same age. Oh, wow. And she's like, some things kind of came up and X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, you would know all those things if you discussed them before you got married. And she's like, yeah, but I think it was kind of like a lot of her friends were also getting married and she really like was feeling the pressure to kind of da da da. And it just dawns on me. I think I forget a lot of times that they don't function always with the same intentionality because we're having these conversations of what do you want in 5 years and do we want the same thing and what are we working towards in X, Y, and Z. And I assume that a lot of hetero people are having the same conversations. But then I talk to my straight friends and they're like, no, she just really wanted to get married because she felt like that was the natural next step. And I was like, that's wild to me. That feels nuts.
It is. It's so foreign to us because we're outside the box. And so we have to rethink everything. But we don't even think about that. We don't realize that we're thinking through everything. It's just something you kind of have to do when you live outside the box and there's no trajectory. There's no like straight path. Straight path. You see what I did there? You see what I did there? But it's true. And I noticed that with like the moms that I have a lot of straight friends. A lot. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of straight mom friends as well because school. I noticed that with parenting too, with like the splitting of the chores in parenting. I'm constantly seeing my straight mom friends handling everything and breaking their backs while their husbands are at home napping. Like literally that happened yesterday. Like this woman was dealing with her twins and one was over here. One was with us and then the other one. Then she had to go find him because he was out on the streets and da 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 da. And then at one point she's like, well, when you talked to daddy, was he sleeping? Did he need Tylenol? It's like, what? What? Why are you doing it all? Why?
Tell daddy to come over here and get out of bed.
On twin number two. What? We don't function like that as parents either. We split it. Like I was with the daughter and was with the son. That's how it works on the weekends. If we can't do it all together, we divide and conquer.
To be honest, Jamie, the way that I knew I was gay too, like thinking about this, I'm like, if you asked me to be a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home wife for a husband over my fucking dead body.
No way.
Honestly. Like never in a million years.
It's a nightmare.
But if you wanted me to be a stay-at-home wife or stay-at-home mom for my wife, low-key, I'm like, yeah. Like,
because you would get treated well by your spouse. You'd be
There's so much care. The way we like care for each other in very subtle ways too of, she's busy and hectic with work and like I'll clean up and tidy her room. Or like I put clothes in the wash and I texted her the other day. I was like, baby, can you switch that to the dryer? And she's like, I already did it. It's like,
yeah, I got you, boo.
Exactly. It's the very small ways that like we care for each other that I know that even if I was to be a stay at home something, if that were to happen, like I wouldn't feel resentful because it would never be like, oh, yeah. I do everything and you don't. I know that we would still show up for each other in different ways. And so it feels so different from what they're experiencing over on the other side.
I agree. And like Anne and I alone, like I do the bulk of like the day to day, like the school drop off and the school pickup because I have a more flexible job. So I'm kind of with them during the week more, you know, doing the logistical things. But my wife gets up before us all every morning, walks the dog every morning, makes the lunches every morning, takes my son's clothes out of his drawers, puts the clothing on the table for him to wear. She picks out his clothes and she does all the laundry. It sounds like I do nothing, doesn't it?
And what do you do, Jamie? And you sit here and podcast.
I mean, but I do a lot. It does sound like I do nothing. I cook the dinners. We show up for each other. And I think that's why I'm so happy that you're embarking on this next chapter of your relationship that I've decided is happening. Okay. So once all gets figured out and you're still this loving, sympathetic, copacetic couple, then we talk family building. Now, my question is, has it already come up, this talk?
It has.
Of course it has.
Yes.
Because we're intentional AF. Okay, let's talk. Let's chat about that. What is the chat surrounding family building?
The conversation has been, I think in the same way that I've said, I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married. I think I've been a little bit more lenient, not lenient, but like thought back on my no marriage, no kids. And now I'm like, well, I may have met the person that I would want to also have children with potentially. And so gay. But we do talk about, like, I'd love, you know, I envision a house in a yard, not in New York. Absolutely not. I would be somewhere with like land and nature. But I envision, you know, I do, we have talked about having visions of coming home and we're out in the yard gardening with the kid and she comes and joins us. And I can just see us having a really beautiful, loving family in a way that like I didn't experience growing up. And it would feel like a really beautiful way to cultivate that. Like I could see myself having that loving family that I didn't have as a child and being able to give that to another life and with my wife and us raise a beautiful family. And I can see that. And on the other hand, we're having the conversation of like, well, she also has a lot of nieces and nephews running around and we have access to a lot of children that we could have a hand in raising if we decided to move closer to them. And, you know, the expense of children and the process for us. And then we do have talked about adoption because when she was younger, her mom, I think, had fostered or had helped raise some children as well. And she was like, well, that's something that we could be open to doing. And so we have kind of discussed like the different ways. The only thing I know for sure is that I don't want to be pregnant.
Okay. That's something good to know.
Yes. I know that for a fact. And so, and she is older than me as well. Like I'm turning 30 and she's 33. Mm-hmm. And so if we did decide to, it would be something that would need to be like sooner rather than later. And we've like, do we freeze your eggs or have like chatted about, but mm-hmm. I know that she would be the one to carry if we did. Okay. And it wouldn't be more than like probably one. Cause then we're like one, but then also you can't have an only child because then sometimes they're weird. And so you have to have two, but then we're like, if we live close enough to your, you know, to your family, then there'll be other kids to grow up around.
All the kids.
And you know, of course, there's so many things to like think about and consider, but it is all a part of the conversation. And we kind of come back to it and are like, what do we think about this? What do we think now? Well, and it's all very active in the ether of conversation.
This is all the stuff that goes with the family building. And we've already touched on maybe the paths you would take. We already answered some of the questions, but I got to do rapid fire queer family building questions. And you just say the first thing that comes, like your first want.
Okay.
If you have one. Okay. So we kind of already answered this. Adoption or donor conception?
Adoption.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. Foster to adopt or just adoption?
I want to foster to adopt, but I feel like it's the harder. But
in an ideal world, you would open your house to a child who needed it and take them in if that path became available. It's a really honorable path and awesome. So I love that. Okay, let's say foster adopt isn't an option. Let's say adoption is not an option. Would you go down the path of donor conception?
Yes.
Okay. And who would carry? I think we know this.
Ashley would carry.
Ashley. Would it be Ashley's eggs or yours? There's no monetary problems. Like you can pay for anything.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We should have said that from the start. Money's not an issue. What is your ideal path? So,
because my first thought was like, well, it's more expensive to use my eggs than
right,
to just use her egg.
Would you like to use your eggs?
I think I would like to. I think we'd have to test to, I guess, to see who's mm-hmm. more fertile. Mm-hmm. And then I think it would go based off of that. Because okay. I haven't given thought to not being biologically connected to the child. I would be open to adoption. But I think in that case, neither of us are connected to the child biologically. Exactly. So it doesn't bother me. But if she
is,
that's a very different scenario. And I haven't thought of that specifically. I would say we would probably have two children and I would want one of each.
I get that. Hey, case
that's
in
exactly
point.
What you, yeah.
I get that 100%. And it is a different nuanced thing. If you already both know you're going to go adoption, then neither one of you has a biological attachment.
Exactly.
When one of you does, it changes the game a little bit.
A little bit.
And it doesn't have to. And it doesn't mean it really does.
Yeah.
But it gives you more to think about and to think through.
It's really, it's not dumb, but it's not the most important aspects, but it's like looking at the child and them looking like me in some way and having some similar features. But I could also see them, you know, looking like Ashley and really falling in love with the child that looks like my wife, and like that being sufficient and not really needing them. And like, obviously I would still be mom and all the things. I feel like I could be okay with that.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could, but it is something to think through. It really is. And you have to make you have to know, you have to feel right inside yourself that you're going to be okay with it. And you will eventually be okay. Like, we're all okay with it in the end. Like that baby. Like, we love the babies. We love the babies. And my daughter looks like, people think she's mine all the time. I mean, she is mine. See? Yeah.
No, but like, you know, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But although Anne and I look like sisters too. So whatever.
Lesbians or sisters. You two are the epitome of that, actually.
That part.
Lesbians or sisters. Yeah.
But things to think about. Okay. So ideal world, let's say, you're kind of like, it depends on the genetic testing, but if you can, your egg, her body, and then her egg, her body.
Yeah. Two not kids. My body. My body's not on the table, which
your
she's fine
body.
With.
Yeah.
She has said, we have talked about that. And she said she would be fine with carrying, that she'd be okay with carrying. Yeah. So that felt like important to confirm first.
Yeah. Is it something that would feel like dysphoric for you to be pregnant, or is it something different?
I'm just filled with fear, to be honest. I think a lot of women, and I know women who are like, feel called to be pregnant and to, mm-hmm. you know, have a child and like want that. And I know you've talked about this mm-hmm. as well. And it's like, it's something about, you know, carrying and all of the things. I think I don't have, as great as I am with children, I was a nanny for so many years. I love kids. I don't think I have that same like motherly urge to carry. It actually feels really terrifying to me to be pregnant. I think it would feel dysphoric, like the body dysmorphia of like my body kind of expanding and me not having control of certain aspects of that and not being able to control, you know, the sickness and things that kind of come along with it. And I think it would be a really uncomfortable experience for me. And I
get that.
I just feel like it's not for me.
And if you have another uterus to use, you might as well. Right.
If we have two options,
we got two. Okay.
I don't have to use mine.
Okay. Next question. Known donor or anonymous?
Known.
Okay.
Knowing Ashley, she's a Virgo and she's very, likes things done a certain way, which is very Virgo-y of her. I feel like she will want to be in control of as many aspects as possible. So I would say yes, knowing her. I keep wanting to say knowing my wife. We're not married yet, but knowing her.
We're going on the assumption that you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So known donor, which means lawyers, like contracts. And would you ask, would it be a friend or would you try to find somebody in the, you know, there's like agencies now that help you find known donors, or would you want to, do you have a friend in mind? Do you have a friend in mind?
To be honest, I literally, as soon as you asked, like a friend came to mind. So I was like, maybe we could just do that. And honestly, I feel like she would be down for like just using a friend too. I know you said if money weren't an object, but I think both of us knowing us both, it would just be like, oh, we both know a person. Like, let's just see if we can do this ourselves. And
I love that.
You know, and I think that would probably be someone we know.
I love that. We were so close to asking a friend, actually. We were like on the fence. So I get it.
What made you decide not to?
The logistics of it and just making sure. We were just afraid he had a big family and we didn't want it was a logistical nightmare for us to figure out at that time. We just thought it was too much. Now I've spoken to so many people who have made it work and it's beautiful when it works. And I get this longing that would be so amazing. But for us at the time, it just felt like insurmountable to figure out all of the. And then having to, like, as it grows and as the relationships go and as the kids grow, like, having to, like, keep checks on it just seemed daunting to us. But people do it.
Yeah.
People do it. So known donor. And we know who he is. So you know the color of the eyes and the color of the hair.
We know all the things. It's interesting because they're non-binary. And I'm not sure. Like, we haven't asked them, of course, because it's not actually happening right this minute. But I don't know how they would feel, or it would be not in alignment for them and where they're at in their journey. But I think they would be a great option.
Okay. And would you want the known donor in, I think you already answered this. You would want the known donor in your lives in some capacity.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. They're a good friend of mine here in Brooklyn. And I think the way Ashley is too, she comes from a very like big family, very open. A lot of her siblings will have like past partners and things at holidays. And
so
it's
queer.
Very all queer and poly and open. And so I think she would also be very open to having a relationship with this person and them being involved in the kids' lives. And it would be very, very open in that way, I think.
You queer younger generation, you really are like changing the landscape of family so much more than my generation did, right? Like it just keeps opening up and opening up and opening up wider, it feels like. It's beautiful. It's great. And also so scary to me. I'm like, no, this is us. This is our box of a family, you know. But this is how we're changing the world one generation at a time for the better, I think.
Exactly. It's all meant to be expanded. It's all meant to be expanded in its various ways and challenged.
Sure is. The astronauts came back down. Did you listen to anything they said? They had like a press conference and they all spoke and they all answered to me at one point and was like, what, did they drop acid while they were out there? Like, because they were like, no, it was so, because they were like, what I've learned from being out there is we are one. Everybody, we are one. It is such a gift to live on this beautiful earth, and we are all one. Like, it was like so, every Cry. Single one of them, I know, every single one of them had something to say about how basically we need to stop fighting, and this yeah. beautiful earth is such a gift, and we are one.
I can understand that.
Totally.
You've
high.
Literally left, you've left, you know, Earth. You're looking at us all from afar, and I can understand coming back with that perspective of like, we need to get it together. This is ridiculous. Look around. We're all on the same planet. What are we doing?
Exactly. It was really sweet. And they all had that same message and they all seemed super high.
And they also dropped acid.
And they definitely dropped acid. Did. When they saw that moon, they were like, let's go, guys.
Honestly, though, can you imagine what that place for a
oh
trip,
my God,
Jamie?
No, thank you. Oh, my God. I think okay, I would actually, lose my not. Mind. I would lose my mind. Maybe a little Molly.
But
I don't know.
Seeing the Earth from like that, seeing the Earth, you're safe. You know, this isn't like an interstellar or like some whatever. What's a tragic Apollo, whatever. There's not, you're safe. You know, you're going to come back down. If you could like guarantee me that like, you're totally good. I'm safe. I have everything that I need. Imagine just like floating around, zero gravity. You're floating around and you can look at Earth from where you are. That's an insane trip. That's an insane trip.
It's a trip. You don't need the drug. It's a trip in and of itself. Which the astronauts showed us with that press conference. You have to look up footage because they're all like wide-eyed and like, if I could tell anybody anything. Like, it was like really.
I did see a video that I can't remember her name. She posted a video and she's like sobbing and she was talking about the astronauts and she's like, one of them, I think their wife died of cancer.
Wife. Carol.
And
the song.
Carol.
Song.
And they named the spot on the moon after Carol.
I know. And
in the video, she's like sobbing because it's the sweetest moment. Like, to be human and be like, we care about this person so much. What are we going to do to show that we care about them? We're going to name this little spot on the moon after them.
And did you see somebody on TikTok wrote a song? It's a really pretty song called Carol, all about this.
I didn't.
Oh, you have to find it. It's everybody, look it up. Look it up because it is beautiful.
We'll include
song.
It in the show notes.
Carol. Wanna be right where you are. Arrow catapulted through my heart. The second that you floated in, I loved you without noticing. Pulled me into light right from the dark.
Anyway, that was my long-winded way of saying queer people are opening the world up like the astronauts' view of the world. We are making it expansive and better for all. Look at us changing
Beautiful
the world.
Brian.
I
Look
know.
At that.
Okay, so we got you, you might have foster a child and you might have that child. Then we got two known donor kiddos, but maybe three because one of them might be twins. So now we got four kids, Deani.
Wait a second. Absolutely not. Anything over two is too many. That's my opinion on children.
Oh, I think that even this morning I was thinking, oh my God, what if I had three?
Imagine.
I don't know how people do it.
Ashley was on a call, work call, and she got off and she was like, this man just came back from vacation. They went to Great Wolf Lodge. He has 9 children.
Holy, are they Mormon? Like, what?
I don't know. I think I asked the same question.
How do you even get to know them when you have that many? You don't know them.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I think that's the least of your concerns is trying to get to know your children. I think you're more concerned with like feeding them alive and keeping them alive and making sure that you have enough like money to sustain.
Which none of us do, but no shade to the people with that many kids. Like, more power to you. You keep going, trudging on. You got that.
You know what? It's meant for some people. Some people are meant for that many, and I am not one of them. Jamie is not one of them, but like, so much respect to you if you can do that.
So much
respect.
And we need it. I need to talk to another queer family that has that many. I have spoken to some because we get kids in all kinds of ways. So
just add them on.
Just add them on.
Cry.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Deani, I love you to death. And I'm so glad you work with me now. You have been such a breath of fresh. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I did it without you before.
Oh, Jamie.
I don't know what I would do without you now. Like, if I could build a team that I just want to bring Nicole back to, who worked with us for a little bit of time, and Helen Bula can stay. They can roll the tape. They can drink their whiskey and smoke their cigarettes and hit that button. But Deani, Nicole, Gerson, this is my power team. And I feel so lucky to have you. Aww, I'm so grateful. Jamie. So now the listeners know Deani behind the scenes. So I might have to say your name to roll. Oh, they won't let me say your name to roll the tape. They won't kill me. But you know what I mean.
I do. And I'm here and honestly working on your show brings me so much joy, and I love nothing more because the message is so close to my heart, and being a queer person getting to work on this show feels like we're doing something impactful, and seeing the comments that come in and the, you know, pulling, I was looking at the reviews that people leave and how impactful it is for people. So it feels like an honor to work on the show with you, Jamie, honestly.
Oh, Deani, I'm so glad we're doing this. I can't wait for the wedding.
Cry. I'm going to tell Ashley you said that. I'll let her know. And I don't know if you should tell them or it's fine if I tell them, but
what?
They will be hearing more of me if they want to.
Yeah.
Or if they come join us.
Oh my God. Yes. I've totally forgot about this. This is why I need you. Tell everybody what we're doing. Oh my God. I totally forgot.
So I will be coming on to the Queer Family Podcast with Jamie, coming out from behind the scenes more often, because Jamie and I are going to be recording exclusive Patreon content. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be recording additional episodes that will be coming out monthly, where we'll get into more of Jamie's behind the scenes life, more of my behind the scenes life, answering your questions, talking more about queer family building, kind of all of the things, but just conversations happening over on Patreon.
Yes.
So if that's something that you'd potentially be interested in hearing more from Jamie, I think it'll be a fun opportunity for me to get to interview you more and for the listeners to hear more from you specifically.
You'll get some tea on like behind the scenes with the guests too. I mean, like, you know, like only loving tea, but
yeah. But all the things, more of Jamie, which I know all of y'all want, more of Jamie will be happening over on Patreon starting next month.
Yeah, starting in May. That's what we're going to roll that out. It's going to be fun. I'm excited because I love hanging with you, Deani, and I'm going to learn all the terms. I die. That's my favorite thing. I die. Anytime something's funny, I die.
Like dead. Oh my God.
Dead. That's it. Dead.
Or cry. It's just using one word.
Cry.
It's like if something's funny, oh my God, cry. Or if it's something like dead. Oh my God, dead.
Okay. See, I'm going to learn so much. All right. So everybody check out the Patreon if you want to. Patreon, find the Queer Family Podcast over there on patreon.com. You'll find us. And it's in the show notes too. There's going to be more. So thank you, Deani, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie.
I heart you. I'm trying.
I heart you.
My heart. It's not
that was
right.
Beautiful. Close enough.
Okay.
Close enough.
All right. That was amazing. Thanks, Deani.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.